inside cannot be denied.
And welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Angelo.
This is David.
And this is Douglas.
We are back again. To go through the films of Edward Yang. And we're here for the third installment. As we're here to talk about his 1986 film, Terrorizers. Which involves a story of three individuals, three couples who kind of become intertwined. One a photographer, one a rebel, and the other a police. It's late. It's late. Okay. I'm trying.
Don't think too hard about Edward Yang. You hurt your brain.
So, I don't want us to belabor this film too long because it's late.
Yeah. Okay. It's only 10 o'clock. Oh, we're going to have so many jokes about this for the next 6 months. It's going to be great.
So, hang up right now is what Douglas says.
Yeah. So, it's late.
It's past your bedtime.
Tremendous. Anyways.
Oh, my brain.
Your boy, Eddie Yang.
So, okay. Yep. I want to talk about this movie.
All right.
Because, number one, I feel I kind of like this movie.
Well.
Right?
Well, Douglas, just put my mic on this thing on mute so I can head to my... I don't want to do this.
So, like, I don't think this is the most fantastic movie ever, but wow. I want to kind of...
Way to raise the bar.
rolling it all back. Yeah,
if I set bar as low as possible, then anything...
Maybe Damien won't murder me. But here lies the thing for me, and forgive me, it's been like 6 weeks since I watched this movie, because the podcast did its thing. But I feel this movie more than... the previous two Edward Yang films we've watched had a somewhat cohesive story for me to follow as it was going along. I felt it made a lot more sense to see how these characters went in and out of each other's lives and how the plot of... It wasn't a plot of some massive conspiracy or anything, but just of these people and how they interacted. And I think it might have also been the me holding on to... the lady in white, basically the rebel, the thief, the one who gets away early in the film,
right.
Who we see her kind of move, she becomes like the linchpin almost, moving from place to place, and later on becoming this, let's call it a honeypot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the proper term is, no, that might
that's,
work.
That's about right, yeah. It's a trap.
She's
a honey boo-boo.
And just kind of having that move the story forward worked for me. I liked seeing the progression of the other characters. There was a photographer who was just doing his thing, and then the honeypot met him. There was the police officer who, like, I think we talked about in that South American film we saw, I forget the name. It was on Damien's best list of last year.
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Passage.
Yeah, Birds of Passage. Birds of Prey is the Harley Quinn movie.
It's a Harley Quinn movie.
Too many birds.
Birds of Passage.
And Birds of Paradise is the movie about the club and the devil, but played by birds.
Aviators make any police officer look dope.
I mean, that is
and
true.
This police officer, like, he just knew how to play it cool. Everyone is shooting at him. He's like, why are you guys moving? Just stay, move forward. Just keep going. And I kind of loved how everything played out in this movie. It felt to me like an actual story, right? I don't know if Damien is going to tell me that I've been let down too much and now I'm setting a low bar for Edward Yang.
Well, I don't have to talk now because Andrew has already filled you in.
But I legitimately feel like things actually moved and I cared about characters going through this movie and actually enjoyed myself for the most part watching this movie. So yeah, this is the movie I'm taking away from this marathon so far, because I've not watched the next one.
Douglas, I think you have notes.
I do have notes, yes. But is Andrew finished? That was very quick.
I mean, I think he's giving us a chance.
And sure. So, I, like you, Andrew, watched this movie a little while back.
18 years ago.
It's a little bit hazy, but as Damien says, I do have notes, and hopefully it will help me to jog my memory. I do remember a few things. Mm-hmm. The first thing I remember is writing this first note. The first note I have on this movie, and it happened in the first couple of scenes, I just wrote, I agree, shoot the dog. It's making too much noise. Mm-hmm. So this movie had some like fun bits. For example, there was a section right at the beginning. Again, you saw the cop who I think you were talking about that was obviously trying very hard to be the cool cop. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really funny that he told the boy, who we later come to know as the photographer, to go, essentially go home. And that boy's response was hilarious. He immediately just started sulking and walked away. But this movie is by no means perfect. And when I say that, I mean it's not good. It started out, and I wondered what type of movie it was going to be. It started out almost as if he intended it to be an action movie. You realize as you go through the film that it is not intended to be that. But there was a point where the police were just shooting up an empty building. And this was after they arrested a fellow who jumped out of that building. And I remember thinking, does Eddie Yang think that this is action? Because it most certainly was not. And it was not exciting. But one thing I will say, I will partially agree with you, Andrew, in the sense that Edward Yang's style of cutting things up into snippets and moving them around and trying to be almost make a staccato movie actually worked for this one, kind of, for maybe a half hour. I didn't have a problem following along, and as you said, the way that he transitioned from one piece to the next was actually, it made sense. But then after the first half hour, Eddie said, you know what, I need to yang this shit up. And oh boy, did it get difficult. And it started to show in my notes, because at one point after the half hour, I have a note here about the fact that a man has lost his wife. And I was very upset because he was showing the gross ineptitude of the police, which was apparently his friend, which I didn't even realize at the time. But the guy, the policeman said essentially, yo, listen, unless somebody calls you and tells you where she is or that they want a ransom, I can't help you. There's no such thing apparently in China as missing people. They're just kidnapped people and people who don't want, people who never existed in the first place. Right. Did she really exist? No, because they're not missing. And I actually didn't know who the man was, like which one of, where in the story he fit in, because I actually have a question here. Is he married to writer lady?
He was.
He was, yes. I figured it out after a while, but because of the Yang effect, because of the way that he was cutting in, it also didn't help that these were not famous people that I could recognize immediately. But because of the way he was cutting in and out of each story, it took me a long time to associate each person with who they were in the film, who they, what story they were a part of, and how they were, you know, in relative to the rest of the movie, right? And oh wow, I have a joke here about Corona and I don't remember why, but anyway, my big problem, right, with this movie is a problem that I have with all the movies, which is the way that he cuts it. One, two, it's, I don't really, I'm not too excited about this movie. It's, the story doesn't really engage you, right? Unlike a couple of the other ones where I feel like there are snippets that I could hold on to and expand into a larger movie that would work, I didn't quite see that here. And it actually got really frustrating, really annoying when at the end there is a boiling point.
I love that so much.
So here's the thing. I got very upset at that point because when you see what he's doing, there's a fever dream, there's things come to a final culmination, and that would have been amazing if it was earned.
You hated the fake out, or you hated the fact that they went there?
No, it's not that I hated the fake out. It's that there was no reason to have a fake out. The movie did not adequately build the tension that was required for that release. You can, in retrospect, build the tension in your mind, but as you're watching the movie, there is no significant tension to it. And that was the most upsetting part of this, that it actually had an ending that deserved a better movie. I didn't like this movie at all. And it didn't help that I couldn't find this movie anywhere, and so the quality of my film was disgusting. Damian, what were your thoughts?
I was just checking to see when it was that I actually watched this movie, and it was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I, like an idiot, watch all the movies at once, hoping that one of these movies would be good. They're not good. And so about 2 weeks ago, when we were supposed to be doing this podcast, I started rewatching The Terrorizers, which the name is after, for what it is, for what my boy Eddie Yang is doing to me. I watched maybe 40 minutes of this movie and then remembered why it is I don't like Edward Yang or any of his movies. But there's times in this life you have to accept the truth as the truth. Eddie Yang is a better person than I am. He tells better stories. He's obviously a better director than I am. Better storyteller. And better artist than I am. And after be man enough to accept that I am an accountant and he is a professional artist. What I will say is that we have one more of these movies to talk about, and I'm happy that this is over. Andrew can convince himself of frankly anything he wants. This movie, more than any other others, deals a lot in coincidence. And this man can't tell a story for shit. And he does not tell one well when it hinges on these things just happen to be happening near each other and they intersect. I don't want to hear it. We saw the first two and they were so drab and uninteresting that both you and Andrew have gone. Doug is like, listen, shoot the dog and oh, the photographer. And this. But if I sat you down and said, Andrew Robinson, I need two sentences. Tell me what this movie is. I could give you a year, you wouldn't come close. Because this movie... Douglas, what is this movie about?
I don't know.
Andrew, what is this movie about?
This movie is about these three individuals and how their lives intersected over the period of this movie. I can't remember if it was
three individuals
or a year.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other people in this movie are for why? Where are these at?
They're just the side people to the story. Like, for example, the guy who hires the writer lady to be the assistant. We don't care about him other than how he affects the marriage
right.
between the doctor and her.
And
right,
say this were a good movie, like one that my brain can handle. Wouldn't it have been better to, I don't know, because I'm not an artist. What if you pick one story and tell one story? Maybe Eddie, it's just so easy for him because he's done this in all his movies, where one story is beneath him. What if he tells every story in the first one? What if he tells eight in the second and now we're down to three? I am not saying that people aren't good enough to do this. I am saying Eddie is not good enough to do it. But again, he's an artist and he makes challenging movies about a time and a place and a country I know nothing about. It is funny though that I've watched other movies about times and places and countries I don't know anything about and enjoy them. There's this movie I really love called A Separation and Unprofit and Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and Sympathy for Mr. and on and on and on. From places, from people, in situations I've never been in. But find some way to enjoy all of them. Somehow, Eddie continues to stuff the most narrative he can in all of these stories and cuts them up as if he thinks if he makes these movies obtuse, people will like them. And he's right. I have not seen one bad review for any of his movies. Anyway, the only people that don't like his movies is the three of us.
Well, the two of us on this occasion.
Andrew's lying to him. Andrew's so desperate at this point to keep his movie author credits. We don't have any. We're like a negative credit, like it's a wrap for us. We're never being invited. But Andrew needs to hang on to some. And so Andrew must take a step back and look at movies holistically. When they're trash. When they're good, Andrew goes in with us and he's just like, fuck, these movies are so good. And he loves them. But when they're bad, and actively bad, Andrew has to, but he's supposed to like them. Because when they're bad and they're supposed to be bad, but he's getting no points whether he likes them or not, he hand waves them up. Like Steve Netflix's movie that we spoke about on a separate podcast. But with this one, Eddie Yang is an author. There have been books written about him. And so Andrew has to come here and he has to, you know, hold on to as many author points as he can. And so he comes here and uses words. And the words don't have to make any sense.
I'm just happy that Damian knows the game.
He just has to,
right?
He's basically doing a TV interview where it's just like, no one understands what I'm talking about. except me. I just need to use as many words as I can and convince one person that I have any clue what I'm talking about. Here's what I'll say about this movie. The characters aren't memorable. We don't know or care about anything that happens to them. And when this movie is done, the only sense you have is one of relief that this movie is done.
You don't care about the guy who's trying to get his job.
Anything in this movie.
You don't care about the guy who the police officer who's trying to talk his friend into having a good time. You don't care about the honeypot who's just trying to get to the escape point of her life.
Andrew, let me be very clear. This man is incapable of making good movies. I've seen three movies. I can't talk about the last one. I've seen three movies. In the three movies, there's nothing that has even the tiniest bit endeared me to any of these movies. And it's not even Tree of Life special where you can point to it and go, this is lunacy. But if I see the Tree of Life anywhere, it is unmistakable. I know what that is. 1,000,000% of the time. Me and Douglas have had we've seen trailers and we're like, what is this? Terrence Malick looking bullshit. So as much as I don't like him, I have accepted that he has a style and that is what he's working with. And I don't love it. Andrew clearly does. And I just have to move on. What is Eddie Yan's style? What is it?
Chop and change.
It's not like this is the first time we've done marathons like this with directors that we don't 100% like. But there's always something. I remember the Japanese one that we did where we didn't like most of the movies. But there's the one with the little boys fighting. And all of us kind of enjoyed that. Right. And like, there's things on here that's like, yeah, it was endearing. I didn't love all of what he did, but at least there is something in some of them. There's always something you could look at and go, yeah, man. There's a scene or a thing that you go, while I don't love this movie, this thing was, none of us have come here any other weeks and go, these are trash, but this thing, Andrew hasn't done that tonight.
I feel like you're forgetting our yee-yee conversation and Douglas's continual joy of the shenanigans of that younger brother.
If I'm so upset that you're not here now to look at Douglas's face. Douglas is in disbelief. We talked about that movie a month. Douglas has already erased everything out of his mind about yee.
Andrew, just to be clear, conceding that every once in a while a character did something stupid.
A small child can be fun in a movie. Andrew has set the bar very low today. Andrew's just like, was there a movie? Was film
actually,
stock used?
Until you said that, I forgot about the child.
That is what I'm saying. And you will tomorrow. If I come back to you tomorrow, I go,
but to be fair, the child was, but come on. Oh my God, that movie was bad.
Douglas would be like, I think so. No, that movie's garbage. Yeah, it is. I don't regret watching these movies because I wasn't going to watch them without this. And so, Andrew, when we do these and there's a director that only makes trash, I don't want you to conflate one with the other. While I hate these movies, it doesn't mean I don't like doing these marathons because I wasn't going to see these movies. Without this, this is the push that I needed. And I enjoy experiencing new things. And like with when I started listening to your people music, you people. I understand that the hit rate is going to be low because I've watched movies for so long. The chances that there are these phenomenal movies out there that I've never seen or heard of at this point, it's very low. The percentages are low. And I've accepted that. I know a lot of the movies that I'm going to watch in these things probably aren't going to, you know, light a fire under me. But for every 10 of these, you will come and you will bring a movie like Suspiria or what's the one with the cat house?
House,
right. Those are the ones. I will sit through 100 terrible movies for Suspiria and House. I will. And so I don't want you to misunderstand my feelings about these terrible movies to us doing these marathons. I really do enjoy doing these marathons. But Eddie Yang sucks. And now I have enough in me so that in the future, when I meet, say, a Andrew Part 2, right? Or I start listening to Film Spotting again because I hate myself, and they say things about Eddie Yang, I know to turn off that podcast. I was like, oh, you people are drunk, and move on with my life. I also like having that. I don't like there being gaps in my movie watching. I know they'll always exist. I can't watch all the movies. I don't have the time. But the Eddie Yang, Andrew, I spent $17 on his book. Someone wrote a book about him and his life and his movie thing. And I went, all right, I'll watch his movies. And when they're good, I'll be able to come here and have, you know, insights because I'd have read the book. And I watched one of those movies and went, I need to read this book. And by the time I got through the 4, I was just like, if Amazon had a refund policy, I'd have seen this book. fuck it. Yeah. And his shitty goddamn movies. I hate him and his movies. I hate Andrew. I hate this podcast. I hate these reviews. Hate it all. I have notes. I'm not even. I refuse. Fuck this.
And that's the end of that.
So I don't think he's not with us anymore, so he can't hear me tell him.
he can't pull this up. Them and I gave less to think they could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my your eyes.